Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show, and thank you for joining us. We're coming up on Christmas, but first off, we're going to be talking about pets this time. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
I'm Sherry Hunt, your Craven County Commissioner.
Joanna Kloster, author and volunteer with the Humane Society of the United States.
Lindsay Osteen, Director of the Craven County Animal Protective Services with the Sheriff's Office.
And Lisa Jefferson, I'm with Colonial Capital Humane Society.
Thank you and welcome all. Sherry, I think you're taking it from here.
I'd love to talk about pet responsibility and adoption at the Christmas time. Whether it's a cat, dog, rabbit, chicken,
bird,
guinea pig. We have a plethora of animals at the shelter. It's really important to consider long-term engagement. The support of an animal has a financial fee, not just emotional, but there is a cost to it. We want to make sure that all of the animals have the right vaccinations, that they have the good good food to keep them healthy and long living. And it's also important to consider everything else that go along with animal adoptions. When you're going to keep an animal in your home, there's accidents that are bound to happen. So all of these things need to be taken into consideration before adopting at Christmas times, just simply because we want our loved ones to be happy.
There's also the aspect of if you adopt an animal with the idea that your child is going to take care of it, you need to take the time to train the child how to take care of it. You need to say, this is how you take the dog for the walk. This is what you feed the dog. When the dog comes and whines at the door, that means the dog wants to go out. You know, these are, if you have an 8-year-old kid, they don't instinctively know this. They have to be taught. And if you adopt a puppy when your child is 8 years old, understand that by the time that child goes off to college, you may be taking care of an elderly dog, and you have to be willing to accept that responsibility also.
Absolutely. 90% of the training is with the people that live with the animals. The animals tend to want to make you happy, whether it's a cat or a dog or even the potbelly pigs. They want to please their owners. The training time is in the people, to include the adults. The adults tend to get a little lazy too.
That's a good point, Mary. You really want to remember this is a lifetime of this animal's commitment. This is just not something you take lightly. And unfortunately, far too many people fall into noticing the sweet little puppy face in a pet store and do not know what's behind those puppies. And unfortunately, those puppies become a consumer welfare protection issue because of the things that the pet store owners who sell puppies from puppy mills never tell you about. For instance, the first thing is there's the exorbitant financing fees that you're never told about. But if you miss a payment on a loan that you couldn't afford the puppy in the first place, sometimes it jumps up 200%. But the other really important aspect of going to a pet store or buying a puppy online when you're taken in by their beautiful little face is you don't realize because these animals, these dogs were raised in locked cages, the parents, the mommy dogs, have been raised in a locked cage her whole life, she's suffering from something like PTSD, and it's the puppies come out being traumatized, and they come out with usually severe emotional issues and many times physiological problems like hip issues or congenital heart defects because of poor breeding, and you don't find that out immediately. And then across the year, you have all these bills coming in, so you're out for the loan money, then you're paying more at the vet, and then the last thing is it just becomes a problem, which is why you need to be going to your shelters where you can take the time and work with the people there who have the best interests of the animals at heart.
Also, the shelters. Now, I've not dealt with shelters in North Carolina, and we moved here from Massachusetts where we were doing foster care for the local shelter and eventually adopted a couple of cats. But even before we were allowed to do foster care, they checked with our vet. They did a background check on us and everything. Yes. Like that. So they knew what they were dealing with.
Yeah.
And the other thing, the puppy mills are a horrible thing, and I will admit I was not aware of how horrible they were until I read your book. But there are legitimate breeders. And one example of a cat, on Facebook, I follow a man in Denmark who has had this gorgeous Maine Coon cat named Miv. And Miv died, and we were all crushed. And evidently a couple of breeders in Europe gave him a male that they felt was too old to breed, a female that they did not feel was a health risk on breeding, and a kitten. So he now has three Maine Coons. But that is an example of sensitive breeders who say, no, there's a risk if this cat gets pregnant again, and this cat is getting older, and, you know, let's farm them out to a good home. So there's a difference when you go to buy a dog or a cat. Do some research on the breeder.
Oh, absolutely, Mary, and you're absolutely right. There are excellent home breeders out there that want you to come in and see how their dogs are raised. They want you to know about the genetic testing that they had done, mm-hmm. because they love this breed so dearly that they're part of their family. So if you do go to a breeder, there are some things you must do your homework. Then you must see where that mama dog lives. You must see where the puppies are living. You must also check around the outside to make sure that there's no barns in the back of that house with dogs barking in the back behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely have to do your homework.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm going to interject. And folks, first chance, go to the shelters.
Oh, absolutely. Shelters. Yes, first chance, agreed.
Get something from the shelter.
But also, if you're thinking about getting a puppy, make sure you do your homework no matter what you're looking for. Puppies take a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
They take a lot of time. They aren't born knowing how to go outside and potty. They're not born knowing how to go to bed at 9 o'clock and not wake up the next morning until 6. They take a lot of work. They take a lot of time. And they take a lot of training. And so if you're thinking about getting a pet, like you said, for one of the kids, you have to make sure that everybody, the whole family, is on board to make sure that the puppy or the dog or the cat or the kitten, whatever the pet is, has what they need to be successful, but also the family, everybody's in support of it, and everybody's going to do their part.
And also, you need to know your breeds. If you're
yes.
going to buy a purebred dog, there are some breeds that with little kids you don't want.
That is a good point, exactly. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I'd like to share is that I'd like the public to know that over one-fourth of shelters in America have purebred dogs. And
oh, yeah.
These are statistics by the Humane Society. So therefore, you can find purebred dogs as well in your shelters. And how are they getting there? Well, they're coming out of these are the surrendered pet store puppies that the people couldn't handle the mm-hmm. prices, the medical bills anymore, or the behavior issues. So they're going and being surrendered to the shelters. So remember that as well. You can find purebreds at your shelters.
Well, one of the cats that we adopted from the Massachusetts shelter was very obviously part Maine Coon. And in New England, Maine Coon cats are very common. Evidently, that's where the breed is from. And the Maine Coons were always in demand at the shelter, and they were always there.
Huh.
We have a new member on the panel, and we'd like to ask her to introduce herself.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Tanya Osler. I am the veterinarian and director at the Craven Pamlico Animal Services Center here in New Bern.
And you have just recently joined the center, have you not?
Yes, I just finished 6 months there full-time, but prior to coming on full-time, I was there for 2 years, one day a week, doing spays and neuters for the adopted animals.
So when the shelter adopts an animal out, it is already spayed or neutered?
Correct. So we do have the ability to what we call foster to adopt. So if an animal has not been fixed yet or is too young or too small to be fixed, we can send them home with their prospective adopters. and then they bring them back to be spayed or neutered and adopt them at that point.
Does the shelter have, or does this area have any kind of a trap, neuter, and release program?
Unfortunately, no. There's no ordinances in New Bern or Craven County right now that allow for trap, neuter, release. And I think that's more of just a general...
Well, it's the general mindset of the area. Yeah, the animals are free. Yeah.
Right, right. So, you know, we have been working with some local cat rescue communities to kind of provide trap, neuter, release style for established colonies that people are feeding. So we work with Derby cats, Island cats, Misplaced Mutts, a variety of different rescues that feed these animals and take care of these animals so they are owned by them and we are able to have them surrendered over, fixed, and then they are able to go back out into their colony. Mm-hmm. We do tip their ears to mark that mm-hmm. they're spayed or neutered. They get fully vaccinated with rabies and distemper, and then they can go back into their colony and live out their lives.
We adopted two cats from a shelter in Massachusetts. And they were from, based on the shelter, they were taken as feral kittens when they were probably slightly less than a year old. Now, we still have one of them. The other one, unfortunately, passed away. The one we have is a senior citizen. He's 12. And I know there were very active TNR programs in Massachusetts, and they were very successful. And I believe Ocracoke has a very successful TNR program because they want to keep the mouse and rat population down on the island.
Well, they want to keep the population of the rats and mice and cats in balance.
Yeah. Mm.
And when you go down the main street, every store on the main street has a little food dish and water dish for the feral cats.
Nice. Yeah, I definitely think that getting those in place in the county is a goal for us. We do also, Havelock does a trap, neuter, release. It is in their city ordinances that animals that are feral are trapped and neutered and then put back where they came from. So there is precedent for that. So hopefully we can move forward with that once a facility's license is obtained.
Now, we will be taking a break in just a minute, and I would just want to tease this. What changes have you made since you've been at the shelter full time?
Lots of different changes. On my end, mostly medical changes. So using our system to make sure that all the animals are fully vaccinated, putting all those things in the computer so we are able to send digital records. Because I am there, we are allowed to provide more medications and things like that. And then as well as on the operations side, our supervisor, Alyssa Merget, has put a lot of things forward with her experience with sanitation and husbandry.
Great. Very good. We're going to use that teaser and take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back. And again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. You're on.
Tanya. Yeah, so we've really tried in the last 6 months to kind of overhaul our policies and procedures at the shelter. So the first thing Alyssa did, she has quite an extensive history of working in shelter facilities, coming to us from Indiana most recently and then Yuma, Arizona before that. So she sat down and rewrote our policies, our cleaning policies, our animal behavior testing, those types of things, so that we were able to more in depth to analyze these animals, make sure that they were appropriate fits for the people who were adopting them. And then on the medical aspect, making sure we're providing, you know, adequate medications for maybe a little kennel cough that starts, nipping it in the bud before it spreads to the rest of the shelter. We have also been able to provide different surgical procedures for animals. Some hit by cars, we've been able to suture up or bandage up and things like that, where they're able to go back to their owners quite quickly if they come in as a stray. And, you know, really just working together with the people who are coming in, both to adopt and to surrender, and then working closely with APS on the court cases, stray animals, really working with them to get these animals back to their owners.
Before we get on to APS, which I would like to do, I just have a question. How is the shelter funded?
So the Craven County Shelter is funded through tax dollars. Craven County supplies those. They have been very generous with us, both allowing the shelter to hire on a full-time veterinarian as well as add some additional funding for medical expenses and things like that. We do also take donations, which are used for more of the add-on things. So we have been able to provide heartworm treatment for heartworm-positive animals before they're adopted, which can cost upwards of $1,000 to $1,500 for someone out in the veterinary market, where we're able to provide that for a $300 donation, which is just that cost for the medication. So the county is kind of supporting by paying for the supplies and then the donations by the medications themselves. So wow. We've been able to do, I think, about 6 or 7 animals at this point.
Do you want to talk about the role, the relationship between Animal Protected Services and the shelter, please?
Yeah, so we've been super excited to work closely with the shelter and the new leadership. I just recently stepped into this position as well, so it's new for everybody. But we just really want to make sure that the shelter is able to reach their goals and help them out in any way that we can, whether that's intake diversion out in the field, going the extra mile to find an owner out in the field so we don't have to bring an animal to the shelter, and just exploring different programs and initiatives to help the shelter and promote adoptions.
When an animal is chipped, do you have to bring it back to the shelter to read the chip?
Nope. So we can actually make a phone call out in the field to the microchip company. However, it's so important for pet owners to keep that information updated. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we've run into some situations where that chip information has not been updated and we're not able to reunite in the field because we really want to skip the shelter. We want to be able to bring the animal right back home.
Mm-hmm. And to add to that, we need to make sure that the owners realize that in many cases, they need to register that microchip.
Yes. Mm.
A lot of veterinarian offices chip your animal, but they don't do that registration for you. Okay. So they send you home with the paperwork to do that. If you don't go and register your animal, even if they pick your animal up and it has a chip and they find the chip company and they call, there's no information there as to where to return the animal to. So you need to make sure that you contact the company with the microchip and you give them your name, your phone number, your email address. Fill out the form that you get when the animal is chipped. Because we've had several in the last 4 or 5 years that I've been with the Humane Society come in and we scan them and we get excited because there's a microchip there. Somebody's found a dog and they brought it to us. There's a chip there and we think we're going to get them back home. And we don't because we can't find the owners.
Our cat is chipped. They both were. And I believe there's a $25 a year renewal fee that we pay to keep the chip current and to keep the information current, and it is worth every penny of it. We did this because we moved them down here when they were about a year old, and we felt like if one of them somehow gets loose on the trip, we want to make sure that we can get our cat back.
And a lot of the chip companies don't have an annual fee.
Yeah.
I know the chip company that we use does not. There's no fee. When you adopt an animal from Colonial Capital, we chip them, dogs and cats. We register it for the owner so that they don't have to worry about that. But you have to make sure that that happens somehow. And there's no charge because we include that in our adoption fee. And I think the shelter does that as well.
Yeah, we register them on site through our online system. It goes right in. And so within 24 hours, that animal is registered to any and all info that you gave us.
Right.
Yeah, majority of the microchip companies that do charge an annual fee, they have additional services that you get with that annual fee. So all microchip companies, whatever you register originally, will remain on file, doesn't disappear. But those additional fees a lot of the times provide emergency medical care, or they will pay any costs that it costs to get that animal home as well. So there are a lot of uses.
There's a reason the fee is there.
There's a reason their fee is there.
All that we know is that it's important.
It is very important.
It is.
Register your animals.
And I think if you keep in mind, if you don't adopt the animal, then you probably need to register that microchip. So if you take your dog or cat or potbelly pig to your veterinarian and they put the microchip in for you, that's where you would need to double check and make sure that microchip gets registered. Because I know I had one of my vets years ago do the microchip for my dog, and I didn't realize I needed to register it. Years later, I wanted to go and check, or we moved, or I changed my phone number, and I was going to update it and realized that it had never been registered. So I got it registered, but it didn't happen because the dog or the cat wasn't adopted from
the other aspect of that is in my email, I get notices of a lost animal in my area because of they have my current address and
That's
I changed it. So if there's, a missing animal, I will hear about it.
How can people volunteer, and what do you need to do to volunteer? What kind of volunteer opportunities are there? Because I know whether it's cleaning cages or whether even if you have a young child, that you can walk the animal and have the child with that animal or whatever else. And again, I don't know all of the opportunities.
Yeah.
Anybody want to speak on that?
I guess I'll start over at the shelter.
Okay.
Our volunteer, I think, is a little more open, more less intense, I guess. I'm not exactly sure what they do over at the Humane Society, but I know with our volunteers, it's We do ask what they're interested in. So we do employ full-time employees to do most of the cleaning and the dirty work. So our volunteers tend to do the walking of the animals. Very important for socialization for these animals, because our staff doesn't get as much time as we would like to take these animals out and teach them basic skills. Sit, stay, shake. We don't know what these animals know when they come in a lot of the times. So our volunteers work with them daily to teach them these skills, learn how to walk on a leash. Some of these animals have never been on a leash before. And introducing these animals to a variety of people. So like you said, children. We do require anyone under 18 has a guardian with them, but they are allowed to be with their parent or guardian while they're walking the animal. And we always love when they come in to pet the cats because the cats need that love. And then they're used to having more energetic children around. They become more adoptable and better long-term family members. So we really appreciate all of that. We actually just had a group of high school Honor Society kids come in today to help. They were doing laundry, cleaning dishes, walking dogs. They actually came in and helped out in surgery with paperwork and things like that. So we really try to angle the volunteer opportunities to what the volunteer likes to do.
By bringing in high school kids, you are also, I think, setting up the potential that if any child is interested in a veterinary career, they get to see a little bit of what it's like to take care of animals and to the challenges that come up.
A lot of kids don't know what veterinary medicine really is. It's not all puppies and kittens, unfortunately. But we really appreciate all the volunteer time that they give, and they ask really interesting questions and have this insight that, you know, sometimes as adults, we don't think about those things for the animals. So we're always happy to have volunteers come in, and I'm always excited to teach and have them learn.
Now, when we come back, I want to go into detail on this, but I personally do not necessarily understand the relationship between the shelter and Colonial Capital. And I'm going to ask you guys to kind of fill me in on how that works. Because I assume you work together.
We do now.
Yes.
As much as we can.
Much more than in the past, yes.
Okay. Well, that's good. Folks, we're going to take a quick break for the sponsors and supporters, and we'll be right back. And that's the tease for the next segment.
Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, If it's not Moore's, it's less.
We're back now. Again, thanks for staying with us. Go for it, LJ. Go for it, please.
All right. So volunteer opportunities with Colonial Capital Humane Society are much like the ones that Dr. O spoke about with the county shelter, but a little different. Colonial Capital Humane Society is a 501c3 organization, so everything for us is donations, and we work almost totally off of volunteers. So we also, like they do, ask what you're interested in. We need dog walkers. We need folks to come in and socialize with the kitty cats. Often we need someone to come in and help our kennel techs in the cattery with the scooping of the litter boxes and cleaning in there. With the dogs, the kennel techs take care of most of that with our dogs. It's mostly the walking. But we have administrative office activities that folks can help us with. If you're great with a computer, if you're good with setting up, doing Facebook posts, things like that. The biggest role that we have for volunteers with the Humane Society, though, would be our fosters. And those are the folks that, because they are so wonderful, they take the animals into their homes and they work with the puppies in getting them potty trained and crate trained and leash trained. And they live in a home, and so they're with a family before mm-hmm. we find them their forever homes. We do the same with the dogs. They have a program like that for the kittens. They have a kitten fostering program as well. And we're always looking for new fosters. There's an application process for that. It's very easy to find on our website and fill that out, and we'll take care of it. But we're all volunteers. So if you like to do fundraising, we've got a place for you. If you wanna, if you're a grant writer expert, we've got a place for you. If you're you like to organize and set up offices, we've got a place for you. If you just like to walk the dogs, we've got a place for you. If you want to come in and pet the kitty cats, we've got a place for you. Kids are welcome as well with their parents. And we have a yard sale facility as well. We have our flea market, which is one of the places that we get a lot of our funds. And so if somebody's great with retail, or if you've just got 2 or 3 hours a week that you want to come in and help us stock the shelves, we've got a place for you at the flea market too. So we've got a place for you if you want to volunteer.
Yeah. Okay. We've been really lucky with Colonial Capital pulling animals from us to their foster homes.
Yes.
So fostering is super important. Although we do not directly foster through the shelter, we do depend a lot on Colonial for those animals, especially the young puppies and things like that. They will set up fosters for us, and we will mm-hmm. transfer those animals. And we've been really lucky to be able to work with them more closely in the past 6 months and really work on that relationship to get these animals into new homes.
Yeah, we're building a really good relationship, we think.
Listening to it, our success rate for repopulating a pet or whatever, or this lost pet, into a new environment rather than having to go through that euthanizing or whatever, the success rate is coming up.
Yeah.
Folks, we need the help. We need the...
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
And I highly recommend everyone try or consider fostering. I've fostered dozens and dozens and dozens of dogs. A lot of people don't understand how I can open up my home and my heart to these animals and then have them leave me after I've fallen in love with them. But how I managed it in my own heart was I told myself, by finding a new home for this dog that I love tremendously, I can foster another dog and find its perfect home too. And I got so much reward out of it. I mean, some dogs don't even know what it's like to be part of a family. Mm-hmm. So the hounds, for instance, who knew mm-hmm. that the hounds were such a great, outstanding family dogs? They never lived inside the house before. But I will tell you that my other dogs help foster the dogs too.
Yes.
So when we get up in the morning, the crew all says, okay, we wake up, we go outside and we go potty. We come inside, we have breakfast. We go back outside, we go potty. So my other dogs also help to foster the dogs. And I would just ask everyone to consider that volunteer opportunity.
When we were in Massachusetts, we were fostering, and our first foster was a 6 or 7 month old kitten who had been living on the street and had litter after litter, and the last litter she had was one stillborn kitten. And she was such a mess. You picked her up, it was like holding a football because she was so tense. And they told us when we took her, if she scratches or anything, don't hesitate to bring her back. By the time she left us, we had her for a couple of months. She was playing with the grandchildren. She went to a woman who was in her 80s, who didn't drive, who had recently lost her husband, who lived in senior housing. And this cat became worshipped. And this cat became, I mean, she was social by the time she left us, spent her days sitting on the woman's lap. Mm. And, you know, it felt so good. We could have kept her, but it felt so good to turn her over to a place not only that she needed, but someone who needed her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's the other side of the fostering that we get to see as well. The people need the animals.
Yes.
Yeah.
And those fosters can really spend that time to mm-hmm. learn those animals, to figure out, you know, is this one that needs people who like to hike, or is it just going to be a couch potato that's going to be happy laying on the couch all day?
Well, she was a professional couch potato, and she went to a senior citizen who thoroughly appreciated her and renamed her. I forget what her name was when we got her, but renamed her the French word for jewel. I mean, that cat.
Bijou, yes.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. That cat was lived out its, or still, as far as we know, living out its days in pure luxury. Now, we wanted to talk about
I'm going to add another one, quick one, because we had the opposite situation where we adopted, we fostered two kittens that came from a cat hoarder's house. Oh. And these two kittens were inseparable, except they were always hiding away. Mm. And as hard as it sounds, the only thing that we could do to help them was to have them go in separate directions. Mm-hmm. And as far as we know, they found good permanent homes. But again, you have to learn some of those personalities. Each of the animals has a personality.
And we talked about puppy mills. The damage that a hoarder can do is very similar to what happens with a puppy mill. And we saw that because we fostered a number of cats that had come out of hoarding situations. Because again, we're senior citizens. We had grandchildren visit us 2 or 3 times a week, so they got exposed to children, but mostly our house was very quiet. So a cat who had been through that was a good fit for us. So you're gonna talk about the protective services.
Yeah, we just got in 42, was it?
Yes, 42 chihuahuas from one home. And I think that's a great example of how all of us worked together. Yeah. I know Colonial took some of those chihuahuas, and we are just so appreciative of that partnership. And it's needed. You know, we all have this same goal and this same mission. And when we put all these fantastic minds together, we can make this county great for animals.
What should we do if we see someone, whether it's in our neighborhood or something that we go by, that we see that animal might not be under the best of circumstances? Now, again, that's subjective. If we see somebody outside in the cold weather, or what should we as individuals, who should we contact?
So depending where you are in Craven County, that may be City of New Bern, City of Havelock, or Craven County Animal Protective Services. Any of us can help with that, but we definitely want to be notified of those situations so we can look into it. And you can remain anonymous, so we don't ever give that information out to the individual that we're looking into.
I have a quick question about animal welfare, because I learned about maybe 6 years ago they passed in New Bern a leash law, tethering law. And so is it my understanding is that is the one realm that we can actually pass legislation in New Bern versus taking it to the state level, because we're a Dillon's rule state, and any kind of laws that are going to be passed cannot be done at a local level, they must be done at the state level. So are there limits to, for instance, in my neighborhood, we have someone who has their dog in a outdoor kennel 24/7. The only one in the whole neighborhood, and they're working on this. They don't really feel that they understand the situation because they're really challenged by watching this dog live outside 24/7, never having attention, and it's hot outside in the summer. Do you know anything about that situation?
So it's going to depend, again, where you are in the county. So New Bern is going to have different ordinances than Craven County.
Okay.
However, that's a big part where education comes in. So we really want to promote responsible pet ownership, and not everyone understands the emotional needs of an animal. And so just letting that person know and educating them to understand that that animal really seeks connection with their people.
That's very important to hear from those that are called to oversee, such as Animal Protective Services. That I've heard that before about the educational aspect. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's on the same level as that. So right. that is important. Sure. Thank you.
And that's definitely something we're looking forward to, really embracing between the shelter and APS is providing those resources for people, the education, maybe a little bit of help with some food here or there. So being able to keep these animals in their homes where they are loved, and maybe they're just not getting exactly what they need because people don't know about heartworm disease or intestinal parasites, things like that. Us in the veterinary field kind of take for granted that everyone knows about these things. So APS has been really good about getting the information out there so that we can keep these animals in their loving homes. And if they're not being loved the way they should be or cared for the way they should be, we can take action to get these animals where they need to be.
But as someone who is involved in animal welfare, because of my book, Lily Unleashed, which is about a coming-of-age story of a girl who takes in a puppy mill rescue and what she learns about the conditions and how we can end the puppy mill pipeline to pet stores by going to our shelters. But I have met in a most amazing coalition of people in Craven County. I first worked with Colonial Capital Humane Society. Then we learned about Animal Protective Services. And now we have the county shelter that we just had this amazing event called Celebrate Shelter Pets Day that was a proclamation read, and also working with the Humane Society to see how they support our shelters. I am thrilled to be part of a coalition of the most loving group of individuals I have ever met that go out of their way to care for animals, and the fostering connections that CCHS has and the programs that CPAS is building. It is absolutely phenomenal, and it's something to be proud of.
Very good. We're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
We're back. Okay, you want to add some more?
Yes. Yeah, so we just picked up a Chihuahua on Monday. We got a report from a citizen that saw him lying on the road, and he had been hit by a car.
Oh.
Animal Protective Service officers went out immediately. We brought him to Craven Animal Hospital to get x-rays and get him pain medication, and he is now in the care of Craven Pamlico Animal Services.
Yeah, so it was determined at Craven Animal Hospital that he did have a broken arm, both bones in his lower limb. So they were able to place a splint and start him on some pain medications, which we have been continuing. He is still a little dazed from his incident, but does seem responsive. He definitely picks up his head when you talk to him, and he's currently cuddling a stuffed giraffe. But we are lucky enough to have the resources and the partnerships to be able to transfer him over to Colonial Capital. They will be taking on his care and further more in-depth. Hopefully he'll be going to, I believe, a foster?
Yes. The county shelter posted out on Facebook that this dog was with their facility, needed to be rescued. Within just a few minutes, we had foster calling us, ready to step up. We've got it in place now, so I'll be meeting her over shortly. So me and Dr. O will be transferring the little dog over to Colonial Capital, and our foster will pack him up and take him home this afternoon, and he will recover there and continue his medical care.
Is there any way to find his owner?
We have made efforts to locate his owner, but have been unsuccessful at this time.
You know,
and we will continue to post looking for that as well. There's a limit, 72 hours, I think, is the legal amount of time, but we'll continue to look for the next several days see if we can't find his owner and get him back to his owner.
I just want to add quickly, folks, if you have a pet that you don't want, don't drop him to the side of the road and drive away. Please do not do that.
That's right. And if you have a missing pet and you're out on any social media, go out there and look and see if somebody's posting your animal. We post and share all day, every day, animals that are picked up by APS and carried to the county shelter, and everybody out there is sharing pictures. So if you have an animal that is lost and isn't at home where it's supposed to be, go out there looking, or call Craven Pamlico Animal Services and see if they've been brought in there, or even call the Humane Society and see if somebody's brought them by our place.
Now, I want to go back a minute. The shelter does not have a foster program.
Correct.
But the Capital...
Colonial Capital does have a...
So you can work together if you take in an animal and you feel that being in a foster home would be useful to this animal, you can transfer him there and have him go out to a foster home.
As long as we have the volunteer fosters.
Correct.
Yes, we can. We are more than happy to do that, because that's what we want to do together.
But that takes some of the load off your...
For sure. It's not just that one animal that you're taking to foster. You're also making room for another animal. And that's, you're really saving two lives, the dog that or cat that you're taking out and the one that's coming in behind. At the end of the day, we're open intake at the county shelter. So if you bring me 42 chihuahuas, we will have 42 chihuahuas. So we really every single kennel that we can open up is another one that can come behind. At the end of the day, we've been really lucky in the last 6 months to double our adoption rate from this time last year. So we haven't had to, for lack of a better term, make space as far as euthanasia. We try to really reserve that for medical or behavioral issues, and that is a lot due in part to our foster program and our rescue programs that we can participate. So Colonial, we'll provide all of that foster stuff that you need. We just need the bodies and the house to send them to. And every animal in our facility would benefit from a foster program just to learn those basics and like it was said before, learn how to live in a family. And a lot of these animals were outdoor animals or were previously loved and just they know tricks we don't know and they roll over and smile and give paw and they really need that person interaction. So do consider fostering because it, like I said, it doesn't just save one life, it saves two.
It is wonderful to hear of the cooperation between the three of you in terms of the Animal Protective Services, Colonial Capital, and the shelter. I mean, that is just so encouraging to hear for the county and for the city.
Yeah. And I'm going to add Sherry to that mix because, again, trying to get the county to belly up to the bar, I guess, was something that was necessary.
You played a role in this. Played a role in helping get this done, and that is appreciated.
None of this would have been possible without the okay from the commissioners to move forward with hiring a veterinarian, hiring Lindsay, and really working together as a county and a team.
Craven County Commissioners are extremely proud of the fact that we're one of 8 counties out of 100 in the state of North Carolina that employs a full-time veterinarian on staff. I believe we're blazing new trails for everybody else to follow suit. With the help of Joanna Kloster, so much gratitude for her for advocating for homeless animals, not just in Craven County, but across the entire nation, because she also works with the National Humane Society. The commissioners and I are extremely grateful to our collaboration with Colonial Capital Humane Society because they are so accessible. We know how to reach out to them, and we know that they will respond as soon as they can, as best as they can. The commissioners are grateful for the Sheriff's Department and his support by providing professional animal protective services that not only do their job in a professional manner, but do it with a loving heart. And we're extremely grateful that Dr. Klosner wanted to come and work with us full time. Overall, over Craven County, I can see so much hope for our homeless animals. And I'm just excited to be a tiny part of all of it.
I want to take a minute and talk about the book that J.D. Kloster wrote, Lily Unleashed. I had no idea when I picked up this book what I was in for. And I'm an animal person. I have always been an animal person. But I just did not realize the extent of what goes on in puppy mills and what they're really about. And because you had a character going through the struggles of trying to readjust a victim, and I'll use that word, of puppy mills into a family, it really made it real and it really opened it up. And again, these are things I had never thought about. What happens to these dogs that have been kept in cages all their lives? How do they react when they're brought into a family? How do they react to people? And the book is called Lily Unleashed. It's available on Amazon, and I'm sure it's available a lot of other places. And it's by J.D. Kloster, K-L-O-S-T-E-R. And it was worth reading. It was really well done and eye-opening, and I really appreciated it.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you discussing it in that way and sharing it, because what I'd like you to know is, in my journey of working on the topic of puppy mills over 10 years, I have learned, first of all, there are so many organizations working to end puppy mills. And why? Because they're a problem, and that's covered up by the breeders, and the pet industry doesn't want you to know the conditions of these dogs, and that's the thing we're working on. They're considered livestock, the dogs in puppy mills.
Yes.
That's why a dog can be locked in a cage 24/7, and it's okay, but if you do that at home, you will be brought up on animal cruelty charges. But I'd like you to know there's some really good things that are happening. 7 states in America have banned the sale of puppies at pet stores, the whole West Coast. And then there's also over 450 communities that have also banned the sale of puppies at pet stores and online. And so it's a ripple effect. And so the more we can get out that message, adopt from shelters and rescues, do not shop for puppies, because too often you'll surrender that puppy because it has emotional and medical issues, and it ends up in our shelters. So I can't thank you enough for your positive words for my book and for my Cagney, because this is my dog's, my Cagney's legacy. This is the story of my dog and all of his behavior issues. So it really is close to my heart. So thank you.
I'd like to mention before we go that Colonial Capital Humane Society has been working very hard for many years to build a new, to raise money to build a new facility, and we are almost there. We opened our cattery about a year and a half ago, and our dog facility and our administrative building should be open by the middle to the end of January. So please watch for our open house. We'll have a big celebration, and come and see us and see what our community has built, because this has been built by the community. Donations, sweat hours, some, but most of it has been donations from our community and our amazing village in Craven County.
That is
and
wonderful.
Our animal lovers. So please come and see us.
That's excellent. Now, Mary, let's go for the Christmas
I want to mention that December 19th at 7 o'clock is the CCTA Christmas party. We will have light food, sandwiches, fruit, cheese, whatever, and we will be singing Christmas carols, and there will be a Christmas message from our newly elected chairman. He takes the chair January 1st, Pastor Damon King. So it's 7 o'clock on the 19th. It's open to the public. There is no charge. We do ask, if people would like to, that they please bring a can or a non-perishable food item, and we would like to collect some food for RCS to give out to people during the Christmas season. So I would love it if people will come. It's very simple. It's going to be very low-key, but it'll be a chance to sing Christmas carols. When was the last time you had a chance to? And it doesn't matter if you're off-key. The Bible says make a joyful noise. We can do that. All are welcome. Stanley Hall, 7 o'clock, December 19th.
Now I'm going to ask everybody to introduce themselves again one more time. I'm Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Sherry Hunt.
Joanna Kloster.
Tanya Osler.
Lindsay Osteen.
Lisa Jefferson.
Thank you, everyone, for staying with the show.
Thank you all for being part of it.
And we ask you to take care of your pets. And thank you again.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.